At Founders Brewing Company, we set out to create a beer that lets you embrace the unconventional. Mortal Bloom is a radiantly beautiful, hazy IPA that will wrap your taste buds with intense citrus and tropical notes of pineapple and mango. Coming in at 6.2% ABV with big aromatics and no bitterness, it's the perfect beer, if we do say so ourselves. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find Mortal Bloom Hazy IPA.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast, the Masters Class. And today it's a little bit different than we usually do here on the Masters Class. We kind of whittled it down to just Tommy Dreamer and Bully Ray. Why are we doing this? Well, the topic of conversation is going to be ECW, and the topic of conversation is going to be more specifically the Sandman. The Sandman was a guest on the Busted Open Podcast just a few days ago, and he shared some moments and memories. But what I want to get from this Masters Class is Tommy and Bully sharing some moments and memories of the Sandman. So, Bully, I'm going to start with you. When you think of the Sandman, when you look back at the Sandman's career, when you look at what the Sandman was able to do in a very short time in the pro wrestling industry that people are still talking about in 2024, there's got to be a story that you can share with the Busted Open Nation that to you is like the creme de la creme of the Sandman.
Well, I can give you a Sandman story from my perspective that gives you the creme de la creme of how influential the Sandman was on the wrestling business. Now, we normally don't think of Jim Fullington, the Sandman, as being very influential. We know what he did in ECW. We know what he represented. We know a lot of the stories about him. But do you realize the footprint that the Sandman has left behind, Dave?
No, I would love to hear it.
You don't know, you don't realize, you don't see it because it's right there in front of you. Without the Sandman, we don't get the version of Stone Cold Steve Austin that we've come to know and love. Steve spent a very brief time in ECW. Now, I'm not saying that Steve Austin would not have been a mega success without the influence of the Sandman, but Steve was smart enough to see the simplicity of what the Sandman was doing in ECW and how over it got. Especially the borrowing or blatantly ripping off of drinking beers. Has anybody drank beer like the Sandman has during an entrance?
No.
Drinking the beer was a part of the Sandman's whole shtick, gimmick, entrance. Probably went through a six-pack every single night he was out there, crushing the beers on his head, drinking, pouring those beers down his throat. That became synonymous with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And what can just about, what could a majority of America relate to? Drinking an ice cold beer.
And to see the Bully, this is an interesting one because you can look at what the Sandman did and what the Sandman eventually did for Stone Cold Steve Austin. You could kind of look at it what wrestlers can do today. What's going to make you stand out, but what's also going to make you relatable? On the Busted Open Live show on SiriusXM this past week, we talked about Trick Williams and how Trick Williams in his own way is becoming relatable to the audience where the fans were behind him. Cody Rhodes, with his story, made it relatable to the audience. For that ECW faithful, that would pack the ECW arena that was relatable to them. And I think that's why it stands out as much as it does.
But not only was it relatable to the ECW fan at the arena when it came in regards to the Sandman, it was relatable to Stone Cold Steve Austin, the blue-collar guy in the jean shorts, the high-tech shoes, the T-shirt, coming to the ring, kicking ass, taking names, drinking beers. Every single night, we saw Stone Cold Steve Austin drink a beer after his match, after his promo, during his promo, the same way we saw the Sandman drink a beer on his way to the ring. So, I mean, Steve will tell you himself that in watching the Sandman, he's like, damn, there's something there. And listen, we all borrow from one another. So many people have borrowed from others. And some people have blatantly ripped off from others, taken a certain move. Me and Tommy have both taken, quote unquote, the dusties, the flip, flop, and fly. We've just turned it into our own. Me and Devon took the Doomsday device, turned it into our own as a constant tribute to the greatest tag team of all time, the Road Warriors. So the Sandman was extremely influential. As far as stories are concerned, I could tell you a million stories about the Sandman, but the Sandman is one of the reasons why, or could have been the number one reason why, I never showed up in ECW. My first introduction to the Sandman was at 2 o'clock in the morning at a sports bar in Queens, in which ECW was playing on, I don't know, SportsCenter or the Sunshine Network or whatever it was. I couldn't hear the volume on the TV, but I saw some guy walking to the ring in American flag Zubaz, a T-shirt with himself on it, holding a Singapore cane, smoking a cigarette, and drinking a beer. And I was like, who is this guy, and why is Nancy Sullivan woman with him? Because I thought very highly of Nancy Sullivan, watching her come up in the territories with Kelvin Sullivan, obviously WCW. Why is she with him? This guy is a bum. He doesn't look like a wrestler. He's a bum. Why is a professional wrestler smoking? Why is a professional wrestler drinking? What is that stupid stick in his hand? And I'll never forget what I said to myself. I would never wrestle for a company like this. Just based on seeing the Sandman's entrance one night on TV. It looked so out of place. And then friends of mine back in the day forced me on September 23rd, 1995 to go to Middletown, New York. And they said, hey, bring your videotape, bring your pictures. Maybe you'll never know. And Dave, I was right at the tail end of my window closing on the time frame that I gave myself. I said, I'm giving myself 5 years. If something doesn't happen in 5 years, I'm going to take over one of the family businesses, and that's it. At least I know I gave it my best shot. Right on the tail end, I showed up in Middletown, took my chokeslam from 911, shaved my head. The rest is history. So the Sandman almost prevented me from going to ECW, and the Sandman also was responsible for one of the greatest baby faces, one of the greatest superstars in the history of the business, Steve Austin. Because Steve was a very simple character. So was the Sandman. And they got over so well with the respective audiences.
That's to piggyback off of what Bully said, one of the best finishers of all the time, Mikey Whipwreck's The Whippersnapper, is a Stone Cold Stunner. Never done before. And then we saw it done properly and made a lot of money out of it. I think there's a whole master's class on what if ECW never existed. Then there's also a whole other master's class about how ECW changed the wrestling industry.
Suggestions even we could have gotten 15 minutes ago, but yeah.
Stuff that we could have talked about for a long, long time. But we're specifically talking about the Sandman. As we have gotten older, but like for me, and Sandman was a massive part of working to get me over. It wasn't that key moment, but it was the start of me getting over was, of course, the 10 lashes. Personally, me and Sandman had nothing in common. He lived a completely different lifestyle, and I hated wrestling him. There were fights. stiffing each other. He's left-handed. He's left-footed. He was sloppy, but it worked. One of my favorite tag team partners of all time. And all the stuff that we have done together. And I mean, whenever, like when I saw him on the show, as soon as we get him on Zoom, first off, I'm like, yeah, good luck getting Sandman on Zoom. And then when I get most randomest texts and it's a great group thread of me, Bully, and Sandman, I always laugh and smile. I love Sandman. I truly do. I'm blessed. I come to work. Dave, I love you, Bully. I love you, Mark. I get to work with people I love, but like Sandman's one of those people. He just lights up a room. Also, to piggyback off of what Bully said, think about Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair. Ric Flair was a superstar before there were superstars. The difference between Tommy Dreamer and the Sandman, especially the Sandman, you could see them hanging out in your local bar. You couldn't picture seeing The Rock, The Undertaker, these larger-than-life figures. That's how they were manufactured. But the Sandman wasn't. I have a long history with the guy. I do. I love the Sandman. He makes me happy when I'm around him. He's just got this aura. And I also love when I tell him things and he's just like, what? Oh, wait, I remember that. And then he'll just steamroll. What he said when we had him on the show, his stories have stories. I seriously would probably talk about an hour just on Sandman, but if I could quickly recap some of the things. At one point, and Bubba said this to him, he sat at a learning tree listening to Sandman and Raven put their stuff together. Because at one point, Sandman's minds and the false finishes that they were putting together were off the charts. And he would get so animated in it. If I talk about early Sandman, this is early Sandman, right? He's literally getting out of the wetsuit. It's hot. He's got a beer. He has it down to his knees. And he's like, yow, telling a joke, being loud. And Paul, Taz, and myself are sitting there. And it was just such a matter of fact. And it was, this is what you should put on television. Because he's commanding a locker room. And it was a locker room that wasn't united. That was a locker room that was, we had massive stars in the business there that were like, you know, I mean, I'm talking every month, early ECW. I mean, it was a who's who. It was an indie spectacular. And here's this guy commanding a locker room. And then it was, that's what you should put on TV. And Paul goes, you're right. And I will. Boom. The Sandman is born. Working with Sandman, dude, I'll never forget him and Mick Foley in a no ropes barbed wire match. I want to say it was in Orlando, Florida. And man, there's like 300 people there. Mick Foley gives him the suplex onto the thing, and he just goes straight. All the barbed wire strands go, and he goes straight from the top to the floor. And like he had a lot of these moments where he would just land on his head or do the worst leg drop, but it was still like so over because it looked like if some of us, by us fans, were doing these moves, he gets up and he's gushing blood from his stomach and chest and under his pec where he still has this massive scar. And then I see him, he starts cutting his stomach with a razor from the shards of the thing. And it was the most disturbing thing I saw. Then he comes back and goes, oh, my stomach hurts. And I'm like, yeah, dude, you were cutting yourself with the razor. Yeah, but I had to bleed more. This is the love of the industry. And, you know, he told stories that I didn't even hear. I forgot to bring up when he was dressed up as Sting for Halloween Havoc at the Spectrum, but him trying to steal or carry the steel cage in Philadelphia, or hitting Jimmy Snuka as a fan, because he is a fan. ECW, Sandman could also, like he said, Bubba, we would call him like an idiot savant. He would be like, I can jump over the hood of a car. So it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. And finally someone calls, he's like, yo, like legit ninja Steven Seagal style. And we're like, F it. Let's go do it. So if you've ever been to the arena, it's a long street. There's no people out. one of the, I think it was Samu, gets in the car and starts driving. And Sam is like, I'm going to jump over the hood of this moving car. And we're all like, let's do it. Go, go, go. Here comes the car. He goes to run and then he stops. He hits the car, backs off. And we're like, you, what the hell? He goes, no, no, no. You have to be driving at least 32 miles an hour for me to go from this point. And he's hitting us with math facts at 3 o'clock in the morning. Half the people that are part are going a part of this argument slash bet, which is so stupid because he could have got hit by a car, are either drunk or high. And then we're all arguing. And then whips the car back around, and he was just like, fuck you guys. And he vaults over the hood of a car while it's moving, right? And we're like, oh! And then we went back in and shot pre-tapes. Another time, we land from Japan, and he's like, yo, let's go see a game. And I'm like, dude, it's the World Series. It's St. Louis versus Detroit. And he's like, no worries. Follow me. Park where the boys park. That means where the baseball players go. We get there and he goes, whatever you do, don't stop. Just follow me. Keep walking. We get to the first part. The guy's there and the guy, he goes, yo, Sandman, Tommy Dreamer, WWE. We're supposed to be doing this meet and greet. I don't know what the fuck's going on. We're looking for our rep. And the guy goes, who are you? He goes, Sandman, Tommy Dreamer, WWE. Oh, that's the guy. He waves to the guy up top. The guy looks, waves back, goes, that's our guy. We start walking. We walk to that guy. The next guy goes, yo, that guy over there sent it to us, Sandman, Tommy Dreamer, WWE. He said, you have the information to let us in. We're meeting our rep. And the guy goes, I don't have it. He goes, all right, buddy, I'll talk to you. Thanks. Walks. We're in the World Series. And he's just like, I do it all the time. Get you wherever you want to go.
Act like you belong.
Yeah.
Happy 15-year anniversary to Bust It Open on Sirius XM.
The first ever guest, Prince Nana.
To see Bust It Open transform into what it is today, just from how you guys entertain. And it's a blessing to see where it is today. The number one show on Sirius Radio, it's just unbelievable to see. Congratulations to you all.
Bust It Open, 7 days a week from 9 to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation.
I've already told the stories about him dying in the car. That's one thing.
Were you in the car with me? We rented a Lincoln Town Car, which was something that the boys loved to rent back in the day because it was big, had plenty of room for the long rides. And I could have swore you were sitting shotgun and I was driving and Hack was in the back seat. If it wasn't you, it was probably Devo on a spike. Anyway, we're driving. Boom, I must have swerved or hit a bump, and all he yells in the back, oh, shit. I'm like, what the hell happened? He goes, I dropped my bump. I hit the bump, and he dropped the bump of coke that he was about to do, and it spilled all over the back seat. He goes, pull over. I pulled over. I thought he was going to load up another one and do it. He got on his knees on the back seat of the car and started snorting the leather and the upholstery. This way he didn't waste anything. That's the Sandman.
Another time he's like, yo, my girl's going to call you, blah, 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 blah. Can you get me this, this, and this? And I'm like, yeah, okay, man. Where are you? He goes, don't worry about it. Take her call. And I was like, all right. So I go and I have to, you know, get him certain things that like are regular day things. And she's like, well, he's in prison. I'm like, what do you mean he's in prison? And she's like, yeah, he's in prison. He's going to be there for a little bit. And I go, so she goes, oh, I visit him every day. Like they all love him. He's the Sandman in jail and they love him. I get him whatever he needs. Another time, I'm working for corporate WWE at the time. Sandman gets arrested for assaulting police officers here in Westchester, in Yonkers, New York, during Captain Lou Albano's birthday party. My buddy calls me up late at night and he's like, yo, I got your boy here. He's like, you know, he's in rough shape, but I'll make sure to take care of him. You know, I'll take care of him. And my friend's a corrections officer up here. And I'm like, who? He's like, Sandman. I'm like, oh, what did he do now? He goes, he assaulted two police officers, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And so I'm like, all right, now I go to WWE. I have CNN. I have Fox. I have all these major places calling me up because the same man is arrested. But I got notified that the night before because the corrections officer was my friend from high school. And then he took care of my friend. Sandman gets out, whatever, they transfer him for what that, and he's like, yo, what's your boy's name that took care of me in jail? I got to give him a picture. I was like, he'll love that, dude. But like, I'm telling you, this is a everyday thing with the Sandman. I'm happy. You know, here's a guy that has died three times. I don't know how many times it has been said on the documentary. I've had tons of stories with the guys there. And I'm happy he's alive and I'm happy he's doing well. I'm happy he's not the same Sandman that he was, because he was a walking, talking, full of excitement. Another time, ECW, WWE, and I have to be kind of the guardian of everybody. And he seriously, he comes running in. And we're in Green Bay, and he's just like, "Yo, just get me for the main. Get me for the main. I gotta hide." So Sandman is now hiding. He went and did the tour of Lambeau. He's on Lambeau Field, and he asked the guy, "Hey, can I go take a picture in the middle of the field on the helmet?" And the guy goes, "No, you're not allowed on the field." And he's like, "Sorry, bro, gotta." Pushes the guy, runs. Hits the Heisman, his friend takes the picture, and then he runs to the building that we're wrestling, which is connected to Lambeau. It's the annex at Lambeau Field where we're doing the show, and he's in the advertised main event, and that's the building he decides to hang out in. Security comes, cops come. We can't find him. He's also never arrested for that either. But these are just things like he has lived life to the fullest for the amount of lives that he has. And he's still we and Dave, you got to experience it live when we had the WrestleMania party, right? That music hits for everybody who lived it. You become young again and a part of that magic that was just our version of Disneyland was that magical place called the ECW Arena.
I love it. First of all, the influence of the Sandman, the stories of the Sandman. And Tommy, you could tell me Sandman stories all day just because I love the way you start everyone off with yo.
Like that's how he speaks. Yo, fat ass. Yo, dreamer. Yo, Baba. Yo, dreamer's so fat.
I love it.
Legitimately, love how it goes down.
I'm glad. Go look at this on YouTube. If you want to keep this in the podcast, keep it in. If you don't want to keep it in, Raven starts goading Sandman on the microphone to take his shirt off. He does it. Raven goads him to take his clothes off in the middle of the ring in Pensacola, Florida. Sandman goes and starts to remove his clothes and is naked until I have to go and grab his junk and pull his pants up in the middle of the ring because he was so high and drunk. And of course, Raven is just laughing, shoulder shrugging, still acting cool, but so like I'm holding his penis in the middle of a ring so he doesn't get naked because Raven challenged him to a bet. And it was this big fight afterwards. And I'll never forget, Umaga was in the crowd and he came up to me years later. He goes, bro, I was so afraid of you and the Sandman. He goes, that guy got naked in the middle of the ring and then you two were fighting each other. And I was like, yeah, and we're on the same team.
Yeah.
All just things that would happen in my 20s, man.
Probably insanity. Probably shouldn't have Googled that like I just did. Appreciate you guys and thank you so much for sharing those stories.
You got it.
Right. Yeah. For Tommy Dreamer, for Bully Ray, I'm Dave LaGreca. We'll talk to you next week right here on Busted Opens, the Master's Class. Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open every day of the week at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. With blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar. Discover legendary tastes with America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.